You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
We just watched the first part of the finale for The Bachelorette.
Yes. Confirmed.
No, I was just thinking, I literally was just thinking because they're going to announce the next Bachelor on the next finale. And I was thinking, you know, Avin would be a great Bachelor, but he's kind of
he's boring.
I feel like, what if it's Meatball?
I hope it's Meatball, but I don't have faith in the Bachelor universe to give us something that entertaining. There's truly
that'd be so much fun.
Truly, there's like no one that I'm like, oh, that would be an awesome pick. Like if they choose Zach, I will never participate in Bachelor Nation again. He's so boring.
Wait, who's? Oh my god, that fucking nerd!
I will have to leave. I'll see myself out.
I'll see myself out. Oh, what if they choose Tyler Cameron? Remember him? He dated like Gigi Hadid and.
That would be cool. I mean, I guess
I feel like he's like a model.
Well, I will say that there's always the chance that they choose someone from previous seasons or someone that no one's ever even heard of before, like Clayton. And by the way, I went back watched some episodes of Clayton's season because last week's episode, they ended it with the host guy being like, okay, so we've decided that you won't be able to handle next week's drama at all. So we have to make it a live episode where I guide you through. I was like, wait, I actually know that I can handle it. Like I've seen what happens on the Real Housewives, like compared to this. I'm like, okay, I've sat through fake cancer, fake diseases, people claiming that
someone fake has a sex across dungeon. The room.
Yeah. Like, people going to jail, people getting arrested, like marriages that last 36 hours, like I don't like protests, like people getting arrested from protesting Black Lives Matter, like just every single possible thing. Oh, the near shipwreck where all the women then
were
had to
diapers.
Wear diapers because they were like sick from the shipwreck.
Shitting yeah, their like, pants.
It's like
from Cartagena.
Okay, so I think I can handle it. But anyway, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so much drama. So to hold myself over, I went back and watched some episodes of Clayton's season. And I was like, oh yeah, this is such a stark contrast of like how interesting and dramatic it is when it's like a group of women compared to like these boring ass men who like the most interesting thing they can do is say they're not ready to get married. Like what? Clayton's season was fucking crazy. There was like an actual psychopath who was ruining everyone's lives. She's crazy. And she started from episode one, like just creating lies about the other women and telling them that
love,
like, and telling Clayton that, like, they made her feel bad. Like, they made her feel unsafe. They were bullying her. So there's one group date where she's not invited and she just goes anyway. And the group date was, like, it was after, like, a fake, like, sports event, like, whatever, what they always do.
Of course.
So there was a trophy. So she shows up to the group date that she wasn't invited to.
Love.
She asks Clayton for one-on-one time. He gives it to her because she's, like, really hot. And he's like, oh, wow, you look great. Like, sure, let's talk. They, like, make out. Then she leaves. He's not at all like, wait, so why did you decide to come when you're not invited? Then she leaves. She walks past the group of women and she's like, hey. And they're like, wait, what are you doing here? And she picks up their trophy and throws it on the ground. And then one of the women on the group date confronts Clayton and she's like, Clayton, you're an athlete. I'm an athlete. I know it's just as important to you as it is to me that when you lose, you just take it. You keep your chin up and you just take it. And like, she was being a sore loser. And Clayton's like, wait, hold on a second. Sore loser. Now this is an issue I'm going to have to confront her about. So he talks to her and she's like, oh my God, you're right. I'm going to apologize. She's like, I'm going to apologize. You're right. I should never have done that. So she goes and apologizes to the women and Clayton's standing there. So they all have to fake and be like, oh, okay, we forgive you. And then afterwards, she's like, I'm Meryl Streep. I just acted that so well. Like, that's how crazy she was. Watching these men who are so boring. But it felt like when I watched Baz Luhrmann's Elvis and I was like, oh, like, Elvis songs are actually good. Like, I've never heard these before, but these are like actually some hits. But I felt like, who am I going to talk to about, like, have you heard of this guy Elvis? It's like, it's everyone's so over Elvis now. I felt like that watching that season where I was like, wait, I need to text with people about this drama with this crazy woman. But it's like, it's so in the past that like there's no one to talk to about it. So
do you think Austin Butler's
hot? Wait, can you speak? Is everything okay?
Do you think
Carolina's Austin having Butler a stroke over Austin Butler? I don't think he is, but I think he's talented.
Me neither. Yeah, he's obviously talented, which is strange. It came out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere that he's talented. It came out of nowhere that, like, the fact that Tom Hanks has not publicly apologized for this performance in Elvis is like, I think differently of him. Like, he needed to have done a public statement about, like, I'm so sorry for what I put people through that they had to watch that performance. It's truly, and just to say, like, if I was him, I would have said, like, I had, like, something awful happen to me that I can't talk about.
COVID. He got COVID.
So then just say that, like, anything to explain why that was so bad. It was truly, like, one of the most jarring performances I've ever seen in how bad it was. Okay? Moving on.
Yeah, he needs a press conference.
We need a press conference.
Chet Hanks honestly should get in front of it because he knows how to talk to the people.
I think Chet Hanks would have done a better job in that role.
I see what you mean, though, in terms of, like, female relationships are so much more fascinating than male relationships, or male friendships. There's just so much that we put out in the open faster and sooner. And we're honestly able to find the psychopath in the room 10 times faster than, like, men are able. Like, men can hide sociopathic tendencies so well.
Yeah.
They can just look like regular guys. That's why when your friend is dating someone who sucks, it takes you a second to realize it because he manifests himself by being like, hey,
all
what's
right,
up?
If you're calling My me out, just say it. You don't have to,
Peter.
You don't have to make it, try to make it subtle.
I want true romance.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, yes, last night, Devin and I watched the live Bachelorette coverage, and Jesse, I'm finally remembering his name, the host, because I had to hear it five times, and women were literally holding up signs. He's not bad at his job. Anyone's better than Chris Harrison, who is really phoning it in the last 5 years, but Jesse, the girls can say anything. The girls can say, I forgot to bring shampoo to Mexico, and he'll go, Gabby, I am so sorry that you are going through this right now. And literally the girls are watching with stone faces while, you know, they're playing this coverage from the live studio audience. And he's like, I can see that this is obviously getting very emotional for you. And you're like, it's not.
It's not at all.
Not at all.
They're actually laughing most of the time.
Rachel just got her top lip done, which I understand because she's been watching Gabby this whole season who has her lips done. And I'm sure you're like, wait, why don't I just fucking get that? You're cleaning up. But
I actually, this was the she first. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say she looks great.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the first episode where I liked Rachel's look better than Gabby's look at the live thing. Like, I'm sorry, I love Gabby and I relate to this, but like I relate to being the type of person who loves like a sparkle and a bold color and like a bold hair. But then like sometimes you just overdo it. And that was Gabby this week. It's like, okay, the hair is not necessary. And
she got the Khloe Kardashian perm.
It was a lot. And then Rachel looked just like very chic, plain color, very flattering dress. Mm-hmm. Sometimes less is more is what I learned from this ep.
Speaking of which, I just got rid of a bunch of shit. And one of the things I got rid of, and I'm speaking to this because I think it's something at least I tend to do. I'm not going to say women as a whole, even though I love speaking on behalf of large parties. I got rid of a necklace that my ex gave me, which was, he gave it to me in the hospital. It was like a really moving experience. I sobbed when he gave it to me because it was so beautiful. And it was my birthday and I was obviously spending it in the hospital, which wasn't great. And, you know, it was just like one of those really special experiences. And I have had it for years now because I wore it when we broke up. It just like felt it kind of heartbreaking to wear it. So I took it off and then we got back together, put it back on. And, you know, but I think it's kind of a metaphor. Like I hold on to stuff. I hold on to memories. I hold on to people. I keep spaces for people. It takes me a really long time to let go of hope or this idea of like getting back together or room for someone. And I kept on, I love shopping online on used websites. So I kept on seeing like, God, I could probably make a lot of money selling this necklace. And, or I mean, not a lot of money, but enough for like a plane ticket somewhere. So a good amount of money. And I finally realized, I was like, this person isn't holding out hope for me. You know, like I'm holding this space. This other person isn't. What am I doing? I need to move on. And so I gave away a bunch of dresses too, because I was thinking of it when you were talking about sort of the big sparkly dress. And I feel like I always wore like really loud floral prints. It's kind of my thing. And I'm just getting older enough that I feel like I like muted colors. I don't like always looking like I'm trying to time travel to Woodstock 67. So I got rid. It doesn't even matter. Maybe that's why my time travel hasn't worked. And
she goes to Woodstock. It's just a farm. There's people like milking goats. And she's like,
I see what I did.
Anyone?
They're like, you have to wait 2 years.
Jimmy, J-M-I, J-I-M-I. Okay.
Jimmy, J-M-I. Okay, I spelled that wrong too.
Wow, you actually could have made a lot of money. Have you guys heard of Austin Butler? Anyone? Do you guys think he's hot? They're like,
Austin Butler as Elvis?
They're like, oh, Elvis. Elvis, yeah, he died.
It really sounds like shitting. I'm fresh from Germany. Elvis, he died. I'll never forget one of my favorite deliveries in the world, which is when Devin and I were at a 50s diner with this guy. And they had those orders, like, you can order the Marilyn Monroe, which is pancakes, or the, you know, Buddy Holly, which is BLT, or the Elvis burger. And
by the way, we're there.
The
guy we're with is, like, one of my ex's, like, good friend. It was, like, me and Carolina and my ex and his friend.
And the guy looks to the waiter and goes, yeah, whatever happened to Elvis? She picks up our menus and goes, he died, and walks away. Or maybe it was, he's dead. Devin and I were the only ones laughing so hard. But anyway, yes, I get rid of, I'm selling the necklace. I'm selling other necklaces. I'm selling jewelry. I'm selling dresses. And I'm just feeling this freedom of, like, I'm not worried about someone's feelings who's not in my life anymore. Don't get me wrong. I hope I do not wish ill on them or anything. And I definitely am not going to pretend to feel neutral about their feelings, but I don't, and I you know this better than anyone about me, like, I don't have to spend emotional energy worried about this person, keeping a space for them. I can just, like, let this go. It's really, like, a relief.
I know. I am inspired because I have a nice necklace that an ex gave me that now I'm like, oh, maybe I can make a few $100 off this. I also, one time, started dating someone who was, like, my height or shorter than me. And so I, like, decided I was going to sell all of my heels, all my heeled shoes. And my mom was like, that's a crazy thing to do. Like, don't do that. And I was like, okay, you don't understand love, but also, like, maybe
I'll never
do
these again in my life.
But I'm glad she said that, because also that was enough years ago now that, like, the boots I had are back in style. And I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't get rid of those boots. Now I'm going to wear them this season.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anywho.
That they were in style in, like, 1985.
Yeah, so this was the 70s. Again, Elvis had just died on the shitter. And things are... My jumpsuit is right about to come back in style.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we will talk about Bachelorette. And not Austin Butler. Be right back. I want true romance.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I'm joined by Austin Butler and Devin Leary, and we're talking about two episodes of The Bachelorette. Queer Gobbler. Austin Butler and Queer Gobbler.
That's literally Tom Hanks' accent.
Can't you see like a tourist yelling at them?
Yes, no, but that's Tom Hanks' accent.
Like, Austin Butler.
Ooh, he was like, Ulvis, why don't you putting on the Christmas sweater?
That was him, literally. That was him.
Oh my God, get some snow.
It reminds me of being on a work trip with Will in Italy and seeing a bunch of people line up in front of the hotel and being like, shit, like they know that Will's here. Walking outside. It was around the time Suicide Squad was shooting there. And I go, hey, what are you guys waiting for? And one girl goes, Jared Leto. And I was like, oh, okay.
I have to say, and no offense, like to preface, no offense, but the Italian accent will always be funny, no matter what. It just is a funny accent. It just is. Like, people were like talking about Davide from Love Island last season and they're like, he's so funny. He's actually really funny. I'm like, no, he's not. Just the way he says his girlfriend's name is funny because of his accent. Like, that's it.
So a few things have happened on The Bachelorette, which I think are noteworthy. First of all, Rachel and Zach, who I thought he might be a front runner. Both of their parents took them to see planes fly. He seemed really obsessed with Rachel. They went to that weird date where they watched a movie that was just pictures of their life. He seemed very emotional. He emoted a lot. And they had their overnight. They had their, what's it called? Fantasy suite. Such a gross name. Zach and Rachel spent the night there. The next morning, first of all, I was like, oh my God, that feeling. They were so awkward with each other. And I was like, I don't know if they slept together, but then if they did, it looks bad. And they were both drinking coffee. And he's like, don't you love coffee? And she's like, oh, you like your coffee? It's just like, okay, whatever happened is bad. And Zach then is saying all this stuff that we kind of know about Rachel, where he was like, last night was so weird. She was so posed and she was just interrogating me on whether or not I was ready for an engagement. And I just did not recognize her. And I feel like I was talking to Bachelorette Rachel. And I was like, that is drama. That's drama. And so she says goodbye to him. We all know that she really doesn't care about any guy except Tino, who I want to say Tino, because as you can tell from this episode, I've suffered a minor stroke.
Well, I will say that moment was on TikTok a lot where like she's like, oh, I don't really like my coffee bitter. Like, you like that? And then Zach makes this face that's like just like he's like disgusted by her or something. But I will say also, like, I know what he's talking about, but I do think having watched Clayton's season, Bachelorette Rachel is actually better than real Rachel, because I think in Clayton's season,
well, maybe that he didn't like real Rachel. Yeah,
real Rachel talks exclusively in baby talk, and we've seen it come out a couple times around Tino because I think, and Avon, because I think she really likes them. But in Clayton's season, it's all baby talk, and it's also like weird. Like, she's like really like wants to like make out. It's like a horny baby. Like, that's her real self. So I can see why
we've seen a little bit of that. Yeah.
But she's like, yeah,
it's funny too, because I keep on forgetting that she's a pilot, and it reminds me of this joke in The Other Two where one of the guys is nervous about having a female pilot and the girl's like, you're being sexist. And you hear them over the intercom and it's like, hey guys, ready for the flight to take off. I was like, if I got on a plane and saw Rachel being like, what do you guys think? Do you really like me? I would be like, I'm going to die today.
No, but also, let me say this. Like, okay, some of these people's careers, like, can you just show proof? Like what, name a flight? Like, do you work for Delta? Like, are you one of the pilots that takes people across the country? Like, I don't know. It's just like, what does pilot really mean? Like, can anyone say that? Same with Tino this week being like, yeah, I guess if Rachel wanted to live in a different place, like I could just like find a building to work at. I'm like, is that what construction people really say?
In
like,
what way?
I gotta find me a building. I gotta get on a building. Like,
he brings like a bucket to work.
Yeah.
Just puts on a hard hat. It's like The Sims. yeah. So basically, as of last night, the problem was that, first of all, they meet Rachel's family, and Rachel's dad says the disturbing things of, this is my daughter, this is my little girl, and I'm not letting her go without a fight, which made me go, if my dad said anything like that, I'd be like, you're being weird. I also would be like, you would? Like, is that a real thing?
Also, can we stop, like, glorifying male family members for just being big? Like, I feel like they're like, oh, big Tony in a pink shirt. He's wearing a pink shirt. Real men wear pink. I'm like, I'm sick of men just being celebrated because they're big. Like, big Frankie. Like, it's like,
Grandpa John,
have something
too.
More interesting.
Gabby has a grandfather who's just nice.
Okay, no, but he is a little bit, like, you can understand a little bit more why he's, like,
well,
beloved.
Yeah, especially because she has, like, an estranged mother. Yes. But Rachel introduces Avon to her family. If Avon is obviously, like, the guy, as she even says, she's, like, on paper, he's perfect. And he tells her friends, like, he basically hints at, like, I don't know if I'm ready to be engaged yet. When Rachel finds out, it's as if they told her, like, did you know that he was arrested for domestic assault? She's like, wait, what? And okay, I get the fact that she's like kind of surprised because he was hinting at her that he was completely ready. But when they talk about it, he is being so rational and she is falling apart. He's like, I really like you. Like, I don't want to mess this up. Like, I don't want to go too quickly. And she's like, but I want to be engaged. She's sobbing. You can tell it's absolutely real. And at one point he's like, Rachel, like, I do care about you. Like, because I don't want to mess things up with us. And she's like, why are you yelling at me? And he's like, I'm not, like, I feel passionate about this. It's so hard to watch because you're like, you're actually letting go of a really good thing. And all because of your weird friends. Like,
okay, I completely disagree with you.
Uh-oh.
Go. Okay, this is what you have to realize about this process. I used to agree
with
you.
The process works.
The former me would have agreed with you, but I've changed my mind because one of the most important things to remember is that the ring is free. They get a free, they don't even have to buy an engagement ring. What the fuck difference does it make if you are dating this person and you gave them a free ring on TV? Like, it doesn't make a difference. Just do it. And by the way, you signed up for a process that was like getting engaged.
That's
after
the thing.
2 months.
No. I get it.
And he's previously said that he was ready to do that. And so it's like, if I was her, I would be thinking, okay, did you just say that so you would get ahead?
Right.
Like, that's the risk that's always involved, is like, this person could possibly just be trying to play the game and win.
Right.
And so when someone says like, oh, I want to get engaged, and then they're like, actually, I'm not sure I'm ready. It's like, okay, so are you just playing the game? First of all. Second of all, it was annoying to me that he was like raising his voice and getting, I thought he was raising his voice at her and I didn't understand why he was doing that. Like, that was like uncomfortable. And it's like, why are you frustrated? Like, it's very clear you said something you didn't mean, and then in front of my family I felt embarrassed. Like,
okay, you're convincing me. I guess I am blinded by how hot he is. I really am.
She was like funny for one of the first times I've ever seen her be funny, when she was like talking about how attractive he is, and that she's like, when you see him you'll be like, why are you doing this, or something like.
Yeah, no, he's perfect. It is really sad when they break up, because at one point she's crying so hard and she's like, I just feel like my heart is breaking. And that sucks. It is true in terms of the engagement. Like, why does it make a difference? Just get engaged.
Yeah.
But we're seeing the same thing happen. This is weird. This is crazier to me, is seeing it happen between Gabby and Eric, who Devin and I always had our, you know, guards up with. Eric, we always saw red flags there. He just seems really distant. And he's basically, they're trying to like hide from the cameras to talk about it. Like they're on a balcony and he basically says like, I want to date you. He's like, I just want to date you. And he says, you know, getting engaged before dating isn't normally how it works.
Exactly. If, like, that's what, you didn't sign up for normal dating. You didn't go on Hinge.
So she storms out of there and she is yelling at producers in front of him, which I think is so funny. It's the vibe of yelling at your parents about your sibling right in front of them. And she's like, do not call me crazy. He just said he wants to date me. Don't call me crazy. That's what he just said. Literally, he's down the hall from her watching this.
He's like, Gabby. I was like, shut the fuck up. Also, when they first start talking about it, it's so funny because he starts being like, she's clearly just so attracted to him that it blinds her. And like, he starts being like, I just want to make, like, they're like, oh, I love you so much. I love you so much. Everything's perfect. And then he starts being like, I just want to make sure we don't like rush anything. And she just starts like kissing him because she wants him to like shut up, basically. Like,
no.
And he's like, so I just want to say, like, and she's like, no, this can't be happening. No, this can't be happening.
No. No.
She's like,
shut up. I'm going to make out my makeout face on yours.
Yeah, exactly. But then
I'm gonna smush you.
Then he does the unthinkable. And it's like,
I think that society has conditioned men to also, even if they want to be committed, be scared of commitment. Just as it's conditioned us to think like we need to get married. I mean, I think I'm free of that. I just want to get married because, you know, I'm like kind of lazy and I want a ceremony and I think I'm a romantic at the same time. Like, I don't want to date anymore. I know the kind of person I want to be with. If I met them tomorrow and I was sure about it, I would marry them next week. I just don't have a problem with it.
Same.
I think men have been conditioned to be scared of it. I think if they really investigated themselves deeply, they would understand that it's a good deal. It is a good deal to find a woman who wants to commit to you. For the most part, women will uphold more than their fair share of the relationship. Like, we are always trying to make, and okay, again, not speaking for women as a whole, most of the women I know are trying to make the lives of the men they're with easier or their partner's lives easier. And most of the men I know are not indifferent to it. The guys that Devin and I really like in our friends' relationships are guys who are really supportive and, you know, are cognizant of the comfort of people around them. But I will say that guys are conditioned to think like there's something great about being like single and out there. And so I'm seeing that happen here. Like, these two girls, listen, Rachel is a baby pilot and, like, you know, has her Fisher playset of a plane. But I think that she's a good deal for Tino. And we're seeing a teaser for the next episode when it's clear that Tino has said something about, like, not wanting to get married.
Well, also, it's like, okay, even though I've talked shit about Rachel being, like, boring and not, like, as funny or cool as Gabby, at the same time, none of these men are good enough for her. Like, I think that's the thing. It's like, men are excited to stay in the dating pool because their pool is amazing and ours sucks. So we're like, okay, like, first person who doesn't like do something completely unhinged, awful to me or gaslight me or like be mean to my friends or say that like he hates his mom, okay, like, let's move forward. But like, for men, it's like, okay, should I choose like the model or like the surgeon, you know? The ICU nurse or the baby pilot? But I also will say, yeah, the Tino thing is like, he doesn't say anything about her. He can't put like a cognizant sentence together. And then also I was like, wait, what is this wild card thing where suddenly they're like, he has this crazy adventurous life because he likes to surf? I was like, I've never heard this about him. Like, her dad is like, oh, so definitely like Rachel is interested in you because she's an adventurous person and so are you. Like, you like to surf. I'm like, ew.
I also like how Rachel's dad is like, I'm not letting my baby girl go without a fight. And then Tino's like, I think she's really great and beautiful. And Rachel's dad is like, I do like you.
I know.
You are winning me over.
And all Avon did was give him a cigar. And he's like, oop, my wife's not going to like this, but I like this guy.
Wait, not going to like that.
Also, her mom, I also sort of understood her.
Her mom looks like she smokes crack.
Well, also, Rachel's telling her mom, like, oh, Tino's family doesn't like me, or his dad doesn't like me. And the mom's like, is that just something that you've made up or did that actually happen, basically? And I was like, okay,
are you being crazy? Trauma.
There's trauma here. There's trauma occurring here.
I mean, I'm excited for next episode because I did read some spoilers on Instagram and I do think it's going to be a little bit of a ride.
Well, I hope it is. I hope they didn't just fucking scam us into another whole week of waiting to see what happens.
Also, Jesse said it's going to change our lives forever.
Yeah, he did say that. I hope they do announce The Bachelor. I feel like that's the most exciting thing that could happen next week is them announcing the next Bachelor.
I just love my memory of Pilot Pete talking to a girl going, this process works. And Lauren Lapkus was doing Instagram coverage. She was like, no, it's not. Like, it's been like 20 years and like five couples have stayed together.
Yep.
But regardless, we will be watching. And just like Pete and Kim, I will probably be rooting for these couples and disappointed when they break up. Until then,
good night and good luck.
We bid you adieu.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.